A cross-check is important to verify accuracy and security. Before you take a flight, you hear the pilot saying to the flight attendants, it's time for cross-check.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Grace Christian Assembly, formerly Germantown Christian Assembly, in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's Bible. But saving faith should mean acting on what someone has believed. This evening, we will hear a message from Dr. Raphael Thomas listing three marks taken from the book of Colossians that demonstrate appropriation of the benefits of saving faith. Here now is Dr. Thomas with the first part of Cross-Checked.
The story is told of the recent graduate who went to be interviewed for his first job in the IT sector. So the interviewer asked him, "What is your salary expectation?" He said, "I will start at $200,000, depending on the benefits." Well, he said, "What benefits are you talking about?" He said, "Full insurance and 10% in my 401k. He said, "You must be kidding." And the interviewer said, "Yes, but you started it first." When it comes on to the benefits of the cross, Jesus is not kidding. There are real benefits that we get when we come to Jesus Christ, when we come to the cross of Jesus Christ. The cross work of Jesus Christ has procured many benefits for humanity. Today I call on us to engage in an exercise of cross-check as we check our lives to see if we are appropriating the benefits of the cross. I believe it is God's plan for us to bask in the blessings and benefits that are brought to us by his brokenness, his beatings, and his blood. Isaiah 53:5 tells us that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace, that is our shalom, our well-being, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. That word which is translated healed is from the word rapha in Hebrew. It means to be cured, to be restored, to be mended. He was broken that we might become whole. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us, "For he made himself who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus." This transaction was made at the cross. 1 Corinthians 1:18 tells us, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but for us who are being saved, it is the power of God." The cross of Jesus Christ represents the power of God. The cross of Christ stands at the center of history, as dates are stated in reference to the cross of Jesus Christ. In the year AD 312, the Emperor Constantine had a vision of the cross, and it led to his conversion. But it also led to the conversion of the Roman Empire, an empire that once burned Christians alive, now bowed to the cross of Jesus Christ and was converted to Christianity. There is power in the cross of Jesus Christ. And today I call us to do a cross check. Check if we are appropriating the benefits of the cross. A cross check is important to verify accuracy and security. Before you take a flight, you hear the pilot saying to the flight attendants, "It's time for cross check." Sometimes you do a cross check with your bank account to make sure what the bank says is what you say. After a surgery, a cross check is done to make sure that all the instruments which were used are on the outside. As we do this cross check, I would like us to consider the call, the caution, and then make the cross check. The Bible tells us in our text, Colossians chapter 2, in verses 6 to 8, it says, "As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord." Now, this is an important place to begin. Paul was speaking to the church, he was speaking to Christians, he was speaking to persons who already received Jesus Christ as Lord. Now, I may be speaking to some persons this morning, and most of you here would have received Jesus Christ as Lord. You have received Jesus Christ as your Savior. But just in case there is someone who has not yet received Jesus Christ as your Savior, as your Lord, this morning is a good time to do so. And at the end of this service, I will give you an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as Lord. Because the word of the Lord tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It is possible for persons to grow up even in a church context and did not come to the place where they consciously received Jesus Christ as Savior. Just being in church does not make you a Christian. For if you park your bicycle in the garage, it does not make it a car. We must deliberately and consciously come to that place in our lives when we receive the gift of God, which is eternal life. So the Apostle Paul says, "And you having received Jesus Christ as the Lord, there are some things now that you must do." And I want us to examine our lives to see if we do these things. First of all, it says, walk in him. We can switch to the next slide. You walk in him. "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him." You see, having received Christ is an event. It took place at a particular time in your life. But the walk is continuous. We continually walk with God, and the scripture asks the question, "What does the Lord require of thee, O man, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God?" We are called to walk worthy of the vocation to which we are called. And when the scripture uses the word walk, it is not talking about physical walk. It is talking about your conduct, your way of life, how you live as a follower of Jesus Christ. So if you have received Jesus Christ as Lord, you must also walk in him. And then the text goes on to say, rooted and built up in him. We are rooted in Christ. And once you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are rooted in him. And no one can transplant you. No one can uproot you. You are rooted in Christ. Firmly rooted in Christ, the Bible says, no one can pluck you out of his hands. But we are also being built up in him. That means there is a continuous work of building that takes place. It's like a sum of money is deposited to your account and you gradually access it. So you are being built up in him, you grow in him. Thirdly, you are being strengthened in the faith. You're becoming stronger and stronger as you feed upon the word of God, which is our milk and which is our meat. We become stronger, and the Bible expects us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It also expects us to be abounding in him with thanksgiving. Now, abounding there means overflowing to excess. Are we accessing the blessings that God has given to us? Are we abounding in him? Sometimes we just scratch the surface. But the Bible says, in Jesus Christ dwells the fullness of the Godhead. And it says, we are complete in him. Paul, writing to the church, he says, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. God is calling a people who are totally committed to him and totally walking in obedience to him and walking in the blessings and the freedom that he brings to us, abounding in him with thanksgiving. And the word thanksgiving there gives us an indication as to how much we are abounding in Christ. Because sometimes we are complaining more than giving thanks. But in Christ, he calls us to be abounding in him with thanksgiving. For it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. So having seen the call, let's look at the caution. Because not everything that is available to the child of God is accessed by the child of God. The story is told of this man who was driving a very old car. And the car was falling apart, and his friend said to him, I am sure you can treat yourself to a new car. He said, but I don't have any money. He said, yes, you have so much money. He said, all the money belongs to the company. And the friend reminded him, you own the company. Sometimes the things that God has given to us, deposited to us, are not accessed by us. Beware lest anyone take you captive. The caution. You can move to the next slide. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy. That word cheat is also to take captive, to lead astray. Beware lest anyone take you captive to carry you off as a spoil, to lead away as booty, to plunder. And how can someone take the child of God captive? How can somebody cheat the child of God out of the blessings of the cross? Well, he goes on to list some of them. He says, through philosophy. Now, philosophy is simply lover of wisdom. But philosophy tends to systematically explain some of the basic things of life. Like, where did we come from? Where are we going? And not all philosophies and theories are consistent with the Word of God. There can be Christian philosophy, but there can be evil philosophy, or godless philosophy, or a godless way of understanding reality. One of the more common ones is evolution. Instead of appreciating that God created, it teaches that we evolved. So beware lest anyone take you captive or cheat you out of the benefits of the cross through philosophy. And the next one is through deception. And deception is the main tool of the enemy. Because if he can deceive you, he can lead you captive. But the Bible tells us on so many occasions, be not deceived. And especially in these last days, the Bible tells us there will be seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. There will be a heightened level of deception. And if it were possible, even the elect could be led astray. So we are to be sober, be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, is walking about seeking whom he may devour. Be careful of philosophies that are not consistent with the Word of God. And be careful of deception. It goes on to say, beware of the traditions of men. Things that are put in place by human beings. And sometimes even equated to be on par with the Word of God. Be careful of the traditions of men. And then it says, be careful of the principles of the world. You know, Christ has given us principles to live by. For example, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But a principle of the world says, do unto others before they do unto you. There are principles of the world that are contrary. Principles that may seem to make you look wise in the eyes of men, but are guided by evil foundations. The caution. Now, we are ready for the cross check. Having seen what we are called to, and having heard the caution this morning, we must not leave before making sure that what Christ is offering to us, that we accept and appropriate in our lives. I take us back to the passage which we read earlier. In verse 11, it says, in him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Now, what's the point of the circumcision? The Jews was commanded to practice circumcision as a sign of the covenant between God and the Jewish people. If you do not know what circumcision is, you can Google it. But God is talking about a spiritual circumcision here, a circumcision of the heart, representing an establishment of a covenant between God and man. Now, there was the old covenant, which called for the physical circumcision of the males. It demonstrated the covenant between God and the Jewish people. But God said, I am going to make a new covenant. I'm going to put my spirit in your heart. And that new covenant was established by the cross of Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ died. And so every Sunday we partake of the bread and the wine, which reminds us of the new covenant which was established. Now, the question is, am I in a covenant relationship with God? You can move to the next slide. Am I in a covenant relationship with Christ? Have you accepted the new life that Christ offers? And are you now in a covenant relationship? God is your Father. You belong to Him not just for time, but for eternity. And if you are not in that covenant with Christ, you can come into covenant, into that agreement with Christ today. You can receive Him as your Savior. You can just say, Lord, forgive me of all my sins, make me a new person, wash me in your blood, and I receive from you this day the gift of eternal life. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. And then the next thing I want you to check is, the Bible says not only that we are in covenant with Christ, as represented by that circumcision, that spiritual circumcision that takes place. The next question I would like us to answer, am I dead and buried with Christ in baptism? Now, the cross of Jesus Christ calls us to die. Die to self, die to sinful ambitions, die to the sins of the flesh. The Bible says, reckon yourself dead. Consider yourself dead. You know, sometimes something bad happens to you and you feel that anger coming up inside of you and you want to say something that is not appropriate to say in public, so you say it in your mind. But know that it is the flesh acting up. The Bible says, mortify your members which are upon the earth. The sins of the flesh which want to manifest themselves in unruly ways, that want to satisfy those appetites, you have to crucify. Consider yourself dead, for the Bible says, for you are dead, and you are buried with Christ in baptism.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today.
If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.